He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Tuesday, October 14th. Good to have you in for another edition of Behind the Bench. Happy to be on here on 1430 ESPN. 1430, the Central Valley's sports leader, going from 3 p.m. today until 4:30 before we send it off to Dodgers and Brewers Game 2, follow-up from last night's incredible game. So we'll get into that. Good to be here. Thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous segment. Tony D, of course, his show, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays on 1430 ESPN. You can listen also on 1430ESPNFresno.com website. You can also stream and listen live on the ESPN Fresno app as well, which you can take with you everywhere to listen to all of our programming. You have his show, my show, and you'll have Paul Metter's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon as well. So good to be here. Good to be alongside you folks. Of course, we have the Lee's Air Hotline. If you want to be a part of the show, call in. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing Hotline for you there. Lee's Air Weather Check, and it's been a doozy today. 58 degrees currently, and that was the high today. Yes, we only got up to 58 today in terms of weather. A lot of rain everywhere. Great overnight rain, by the way. I slept wonderfully last night with the window open. Fantastic stuff. We look like we get maybe getting a little bit more rain as we get into the overnight hours later tonight, but just sporadic showers as we stay cool for a while here. Yes, 65 tomorrow, 68 Thursday, getting up into the 70s, even maybe sneaking into that low 80 temperature by the weekend and sunny. So nice to just have these pleasant temperatures for a while. Like I said, good to be here. We're going to have a great show, hour and a half, talking all things sports, including last night, including the Bonatti Blitz, which we're going to be ranking the Week 7 games. We're going to talk some Fresno State. Other thoughts as well. I got a lot of commentary to get to in terms of that before we send it off to Dodgers and Brewers, like I said. So, got a good crew in today. Can't wait to dive into it. Of course, sitting across from me on a Tuesday today, Ace is here. Good to have you.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Phil.
Good to have you here. Just kind of spur of the moment thought, you know, an hour and a half show. I think you can handle an hour and a half.
Yeah, I can do it.
So
we'll find out.
He's here. He's hanging out. Also across from us in the booth today producing the show. It's funny because I feel like we are now every day I get a different flavor of producer on the show as the weekdays go along. And today we get Tanvir and Daniel. Yesterday I got Jorge. Maybe I pointed it out last week because I think it was Jorge Monday. We had you guys Tuesday. We had on Thursday Joe, and you were there, Tanvir, as well at Fashion. And then Friday we had Chloe and Sergio. So it's just a whole different crew every day. I feel like I get a different style of the show every time.
I think that's the appeal, right?
Yeah.
You get them one time a day.
Right?
Yeah.
You get a different type of talk every day.
Exactly. How are we doing on this Tuesday, guys?
Doing good. Really sad. Really, really sad.
Well, I wonder why.
I wonder why, too. You know? Well, we are in mourning for my great Fred Warner.
Yes.
Oh, is that why you're wearing black?
Oh, no.
Well, no.
But now that you say it, you know, I would agree.
Well,
that's why I'm wearing black.
The stars kind of aligned on that one.
You can see what Tim Veer is wearing if you watch the video feed, which is streaming live right now on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch on our ESPN Fresno platforms. Our video stream, which you can tune in every day. Tim Veer is rocking the new 49er Rivals black jersey, which they have yet to debut this year, right?
And they're debuting it in week 18.
Crazy. Crazy. You know, better late than
who
ever.
Who decided that? I don't know.
It rips, though. I think it is the best Rivals jersey.
I'm telling you, I was a little confused on the Rival jersey stuff because I thought they were going to play against each other.
I thought that was the point.
So when the Bills played the Patriots in week 5, I thought the Patriots were also wearing their jersey. And what are they saving it for? Are they waiting until they play the Bills again? I'm confused. Or I don't know. I'm just very confused on the release
I bet they bust them out during the Jets.
Like, yeah, well, I think that might be the day they do it. I think they have a Thursday night home game against the Jets, and I think that's got to be.
Yeah, so the next time we'll see it is in week 11. It's going to be Jets versus Patriots.
Yeah, that's Thursday night football. So, yeah we'll see the fog jerseys or whatever they want to call it.
Sure.
Storm ready jerseys or whatever they are. I'm not like a particularly the biggest fan. Some people like them. I'm not particularly there with it yet. Daniel, sorry we stepped on your introduction as well. How are we doing on this Tuesday?
I mean, we're doing pretty good. I mean, my Steelers won, 4-1, second in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's a great day to be a Steelers fan.
By the way, I think hold on. I'm getting breaking news in my ear. I still remember being reminded that the Yankees lose.
Hey, baseball season's over. As far as my world, the baseball season's over.
Oh, that was great. Vlad Guerrero Jr., now one of my favorites.
exactly.
So, anyways, good to be here. Good to be alongside you guys. Crazy night of sports. We were talking about it last before we came on the show. I think it was one of those weird sports nights where a lot was happening at the same time. And boy, if you did not have like YouTube TV or anything, this is not a plug to YouTube TV. I'm just thinking of like this is like the classic. If I was in college, I'd have four different computers set up in like four different windows trying to HDMI into one screen just so I could watch all of the baseball and all of the football all at the same time in a quad box pseudo. Because last night was interesting in terms of Seattle playing Toronto, then the Bills and the Falcons kick off, and then you get Commanders and Bears going, and then you get the Brewers and the Dodgers going as well. And at one point, all four were playing at the same time. I thought last night was a fascinating night of sports. I didn't know if it was the correct way to broadcast all of those sports. I think some people had some complaints, but I certainly don't feel that way. Felt like last night was a lot of good action. Really good Monday of sports. How'd you guys feel?
Yeah, I said it when I was hosting. I think October is just sports equinox. Like, it's perfect time. And for someone that can stream all four, I'm going to stream all four games. But for those that can't, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, especially if you want to catch all the action. Imagine just flipping through all those channels back and forth.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, I was at me and Ed's last night for Major Wager, and I felt like I was playing free safety. My head's just on a swivel looking for all the games.
Dodgers.
Yeah, it was like on this on the TV to my right, like 3 o'clock high, I had the Dodgers-Brewers game, and then maybe like 1 o'clock low, there was the Bears Commanders, and then 9 o'clock was Bills Falcons, and then like I had to like scrounge around for the Mariners game.
Speaking of Bills Falcons, we had a little Bills Mafia show up.
Had a Bills Mafia initiate.
Yeah,
oh, really?
We had a Bills Mafia initiation last night with one of our friends who is a Bills fan, and there was a Bills contingent that showed up at me and Ed's Victory Grill to watch the Bills Falcons game. Some of them were regulars to Major Wager already, but I guess we have found the meeting spot for the Bills, of the Bills Bills fandom.
The Fresno chapter.
The Fresno Clovis Bills Mafia chapter.
They were actually talking. I forgot where you were. I think you went back to like the tables or whatever.
Yes.
To do like payouts or whatever. And they're like, I think this is going to be like a regular spot for like Bills games.
Sick.
Cool.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Tables broken.
No tables broken as of now.
Steph looked over at me and was like, we need to get them away from tables. I know they're not folding tables, but like I have a hunch. Someone's going to get sent through one of these and they're going to get hurt.
Can you imagine trying to like break one of those tables that are me and Ed's? Those are sturdy tables.
God.
They would break your back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no chance. No chance.
No one's walking away from that.
I told our friend who's a Bills fan last night, and yes, I'm going to start becoming that bleephole Patriots fan as the success continues to go. I said, we'll keep first place warm for you up there. Don't worry about it. It'll be nice and cozy as we roll. I saw a video last night. If you're a Marvel fan, you guys watch the Marvel movies. And it's just like Thanos saying like right before the endgame fight. No, it was like you guys wallow in your own sorrow, so you just keep coming back to me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes, yes. You couldn't kill us for 5 years. You had 5 years to do it, and here we are.
But they did.
Yeah, but they haven't won a Super Bowl. Nobody in that division won a Super Bowl as of now. Maybe they will. We'll see. Plenty of season. We're 6 weeks in. I don't think we know anything quite yet. But I think there's one thing that I think is concerning, and we'll talk about one of our local guys, which is Josh Allen. And are we concerned about the state of the Bills right now and the way they kind of looked anemic last night on both sides of the ball? Big playability from the Falcons, which I thought was – I think the game was such a bad matchup for Buffalo to start out with, just in the basis of how strong the running ball, the running game can be for the Atlanta Falcons and how weak the Bills can be at stopping the run. I just thought simply it could be a struggle if they don't get off to the right foot. That's why I picked the Falcons last night to win. And I don't know if I'm completely surprised by the result. I think I'm a little more surprised at how lacking the offense was last night for Buffalo. They had a couple big plays here and there, but I wonder if there's a concern of what is out there for Josh Allen right now through 2 weeks of football recently, where they lose to New England and they lose to Atlanta. They do have a bye, so things can be corrected. But I wonder, should there be concern about what's going on with Buffalo and what's going on around Josh Allen right now?
I mean, yes. Truth be told, I didn't know that the Bills' run defense was like so.
I think they're missing
Ed
Oliver right now.
Yeah, so Daquan Jones got injured last night.
That too, yeah.
Yeah,
Bijan's going to have an insane game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what our friend was saying, is that like their linebacker core is just like not having a good time right now.
They called up old Jordan Poyer off the practice squad.
That's a name I haven't heard in a minute.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. So it's been rough in terms of it. But are the Bills – I asked this question in the rundown. Are the Bills doing enough for Josh Allen as well? Because I think there's a little bit of like – you get lulled into the greatness of what he can be. And I know they're making some moves on the defensive side that pay for a Joey Bosa per se, but at some certain points, I mean, I can respect what we have with what the Bills have with Khalil Shakir and the guys that are out there in terms of, I really like James Cook, but it feels like there's a little bit of off going on. Keon Coleman's had his bright spots. They didn't have Kincaid last night. I thought that was a massive omission to their offense as well. So maybe it is just simply injuries, but do we feel like the Bills are doing enough for Josh Allen in a season where it feels like it's kind of served on a platter for the Bills right now?
I feel like Keon Coleman's just kind of been – like he's had his like bright spots, but I think overall he's been like really underwhelming.
Mm.
And short answer, no, I don't think they're doing enough for him.
Okay, what do you think, Tanvir?
I feel like front offices sometimes will get lulled into this notion that okay, I have an elite quarterback, and therefore I don't need to spend money elsewhere. And I understand like that's the strategy, you try to spend elsewhere. But let's be for real, like this Bills team has not spent the money in the right places or the capital. Keon Coleman was drafted with the 33rd overall pick, and he's expected to be like a dominant receiver. And as much as I do like Keon Coleman, and I've liked what I've seen in the short stints, he's just not been that like top 20 receiver that I think they expected him to be. And when you surround him, Josh Allen, that is, with receivers like Khalil Shakir and Joshua Palmer, you have this trio of tight ends. It's just very middle of the road to me in terms of the surrounding. I know James Cook has been pretty good to start this year, but other than that, that defense has deteriorated. Mm-hmm. And that's why at the start of this year, and even going into this win streak that they had, I wasn't necessarily impressed with a lot of the things that I saw. You know, you had this very weird win against, I mean, besides week one, right? Week one was the exception. That's like the best game of the season. And that was insane.
Oh, yeah.
But regardless, like you have a weird win against the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football, which was not that great. And then, last week you lose. And to the Patriots, and now you've lost two in a row. I feel like it's been a stretch now where even though they are still probably the favorites, I would say, to win the AFC, because the AFC this year is just not
that great. The AFC is like not a dominant conference like it has
it's
been.
It's very wide open.
It's
I mean, so wide open. Anybody can beat anybody in this conference.
Yeah,
let's be frank.
I just think that this is going to be a lost opportunity if they don't maybe trade for somebody or shore up that defense.
That's what I'm thinking, and I'm just going on looking at wide receiver contract right now because I feel like that's the move, right, in some form or fashion. Who are your go-to people that you could go try to get somewhat on the – like, that's not going to mortgage you. I think of a Jerry Jeudy out there who's, you know, going to be interesting in terms of that. Or maybe you go to a Jacoby Myers from the Raiders who's been dealing with injuries right now as late, but he could get healthy again in terms of that. Did Josh Palmer leave the game and never come back?
Yeah. Well, he tried to come back, but he was just hobbled the whole game.
The fact that they're paying Curtis Samuel the amount of money they're paying, which is actually kind of mildly ridiculous, is a little crazy to me as well.
Their offensive system is not built for the players that they have on their team.
Yeah.
Like, you're built this offensive system to establish the running game and have Josh Allen throw big passes.
Is there a D-Hop rental out there in terms of it?
I would not do that.
No?
If I'm the Bills, I'm focusing on defense. I still think Josh Allen can get it done, but if you wanted to get somebody, it should have been in the offseason.
Juwan Jennings?
That could
maybe.
Could be.
Juwan Jennings would be interesting.
What is he going to do to make this a Super Bowl contender?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you in terms of that. But it's interesting because it just feels like the Bills have really – and I'll say this. They're going to get a couple guys back. They're in a bye. They're going to come back. And where is the Bills' schedule right now? Are they legitimately in trouble? Is that what we're looking at right now with these last two losses? I would say they're unexpected. But they go to Carolina – after the bye. Kansas City will be tough. I think Kansas City is back to where they could be. They could definitely beat Miami again in Miami. Buccaneers will be tough. Texans, I still think the Texans' defense is something I respect and will make it tough. Who knows what Pittsburgh looks like in 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And so that stretch for the Bills, they still have the Eagles on the schedule as well. So there's a whole lot of opponents out there at New England, you know, that aren't guarantees for Buffalo, but I think Buffalo's institutional structure can keep them intact. I'm not totally panicking yet, but I think last night showed a lot that they just need to figure it out a little bit more.
But yeah, they're not hitting the button, but they are looking at it out of the corner of their eye.
They gotta have a long, hard look this bye week to see what they are legitimately looking at in terms of it.
Can also just add this, like James Cook, why they've lost these last two games is James Cook has not been the James Cook of the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
These teams have established that they want to stop the run and they're going to make Josh Allen pass the football, and they've lost both games.
Yeah.
It's been tough. It's been tough. So we'll see where it all turns out from there. All right, let's take a break. We're just getting started with the show. We are going to do the Benatti Blitz next, which is going to be ranking all the games from week 7. Yes, we got week 7 right around the corner starting on Thursday. So let's talk about it next. Stay with us. You're listening to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this rainy Tuesday. Hope you're staying cozy wherever you are and getting ready for a night of sports. I think the big one tonight, not the Dodgers-Brewers game. No. It's who's playing in the Western – who's Western Kentucky playing tonight, Tanvir?
FIU.
FIU in Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers.
Give me Big Red.
Yep. Big Red.
I have to show you the promotional graphic that they made on Twitter today. You're going to love it.
Oh, please do.
See if you can show Asa the promotional. I think he's getting it on his laptop right now to show Asa. Big Red, who is just unhinged and just one of my favorites.
My boy.
Didn't we do the mascot draft? He was drafted definitely.
By you.
Yeah, I drafted Big
my
Red.
My man.
Big Red in the mascot draft. My FIU Panthers currently 7-0 in our connected dynasty.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I stayed there
and ranked.
Ranked, yeah. Well, I, you know, I stayed there as an offensive coordinator. I needed another year to develop as a coach and did not like my options at head coach. I was not ready to lead Troy into battle.
And oh, no.
So, no, I was not ready for that. So I'm looking for better options after my FIU stint. Plus, recruiting in Florida, goated in that game.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
telling you right now, you started a Florida school in college football 26. It's cheat code. There it is.
Oh, that's incredible. Look at him. He's huge.
He's a monster.
Oh, my God. It's like Attack on Titan.
Yeah. We're going to get on the stream right now. And for those who are listening, it's just Big Red yeah. just being the largest thing in the history of humanity.
We are living in a golden age of like social media promo.
Graphic design.
Oh, it's incredible. I love it.
Yeah. I think there was a good Jaguars promo thing a couple weeks ago with the Niners game. I'm trying to remember it.
I think it was like a helmet and like a pickaxe and like a Jaguar mouth. I will say the Seahawks had a great clapback against the Jags.
Yeah.
And they posted a video of a hawk just taking an orange cat just off of a doorstep.
I feel like it's AI. I hope
I want it to be AI because I don't want that cat to get hurt. But yes. Regardless, it was so funny.
Hey, so crazy.
Nature is nature, man. Whatever happens, happens. Survival of the fittest. Am I right? So. How it goes.
I can't even get mad at that. Like, no. This is good.
All right. We're going to do the Benatti Blitz here. But first, the Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, of course, home of the Tailgate Ready contest. You can sign up at your local Grocery Outlet for your Tailgate Ready opportunity to win two tickets to the next Fresno State home game, plus $100 to a tailgate. Ace, you can do a lot with $100.
I can do some damage with $100.
$100 to spend.
$100 of straight cookies.
Yeah.
Like the ones with
That's 20 things worth of cookies, and they're all going to be gone.
They're all going to be gone, and Ace will be a ball.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be a happy little ball.
We hope. Grocery Outlet, sign up today at your local Grocery Outlet at Northwest location, downtown location, Southeast location, Sanger and Kerman for your Grocery Outlet contest. Benatti Blitz, let's play the music. Week 7. Only two teams on bye, which means we get 15 games. Bills, Ravens taking the week off. And we start with the worst game of the week.
Let's do it.
Browns and Dolphins in Cleveland. Yes. I saw a tweet. I should have sent it to you. Someone was ranking the five worst throws in the National Football League this week, and all of them were Dylan Gabriel.
As a
Dylan
no.
Gabriel joke. I need to show you this after the break. But it's hilarious. It's comical the way the Browns have certainly assessed the situation. Yes, moving from Joe Flacco to a man who is half his age, who still plays like Joe Flacco at quarterback. And yes, I think the Dolphins have been semi-entertaining itself, but it's just a sad sight to behold this franchise and the direction they're going. So, Browns-Dolphins, also aesthetically, just a horrible uniform matchup.
Oh, that's awful. I will say, since Tyson Campbell from the Jags got traded to the Browns, that man looks like he got sent to the gulag. I like Tyson Campbell. I'm not like a Tyson Campbell truther or anything, but like he looks miserable. But also, I'd be pretty miserable if I lived in Ohio.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, I have that at 16 as well. I was talking about that matchup earlier. I think Greg Newsome was the exact same way. He got torched by JSN.
Yeah.
Tyson Campbell got torched by
that
DK
was his
Metcalf.
First play.
Yes.
In teal.
This game's going to be terrible. both offenses are anemic. And besides Jalen Waddle hopefully getting another touchdown for my fantasy team.
Christ I don't have anybody on my fantasy team involved in this football game.
This is another coughing baby versus atomic bomb, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Next up, Chiefs and Raiders in Kansas City. I'm going to put this here. I don't want to watch Raider football anymore. What they did with the Titans, it was not entertaining. Yes, I certainly don't feel like these two teams bring the juice lately when it comes to this matchup. And yes, they're a high-level rivalry to it. But let's be frank about it. It's a 40-point Chiefs win. I don't know how this will go any certain way. This is going to be absolutely unwatchable football.
I can hear Steph with her nose in her phone right now, like just refusing to watch this game.
No, yeah, absolutely not. I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
If anybody.
Yeah, the reaction I gave can maybe seem like I had this like so much higher. No, I have this like middle of the pack at 9 because I think the Raiders actually do play the Chiefs pretty well over the last 2 years in Kansas City. They
maybe
just
not
have
Pete
not
Carroll's
to...
Chiefs though.
Yeah, for true. Yeah. But I honestly think there is a chance for some electricity. I'm not gonna say this is gonna be an insane game, but yeah, I have this at 9.
Do we got
the
Max go crazy game? Is that what we're looking for? The Max Crosby go crazy?
Yeah. Ooh, Max.
I think so.
Max Crosby against Juwan Taylor.
Especially if Josh Simmons is hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. Next up. Titans and Patriots in Tennessee. I love my Patriots. I love the way they're playing. I wish we were playing Brian Callahan. But, man, no, we get Mike McCoy. Everybody remember Mike McCoy and him getting booed off the field after the San Diego Chargers, yes, left San Diego for their final year, and then he got fired. Sad state of affairs. But Tennessee, borderline unwatchable football as well. I hope the Patriots roll. You know, Mike Vrabel revenge game. Can't wait to see that be a story for about 2 minutes, and hopefully this will be a quick and easy one, but I don't see this being an entertaining one.
No, not at all. I feel kind of bad for Cam Ward though.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he said it himself, they are a SS.
Yep.
Booty.
And I also have this at 13. I think this is going to be a blowout because the Titans just make everything boring. The fact that they somehow came back in that Cardinals game was all the Cardinals' fault and not the Titans doing good.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing's going to happen in this game, except they won't come back.
Next up, you're going to hate this next one. Bears and Saints. You know, the Saints play an interesting brand of football, I'll say it. But I don't know what to make of that Bears team and the way they played football last night. I don't know if I like watching that brand of football and just Caleb Williams just going like full, you know, when cartoon characters like scramble their legs so fast that they go just full circle. And it just feels like what Caleb Williams looks like in the pocket every time I see him running around.
Running out there like a Scooby-Doo character.
I cannot take the Bears seriously. I don't take the Saints seriously. And I don't know if I learn anything from this football game on Sunday.
I think we're on some telepathy here. 3 out of 4 picks in the same spot. I also have this at number 12. Saints and Bears, I think I did say last week, I think the Saints do somehow find a way to make games entertaining, but I agree with you. I think the Bears are just that equal of like lunacy happening on the field, and we're just gonna find out if this is gonna be like a 40-41 barn burner or it's like 17-13.
Legit, last night I forgot DeAndre Swift was a Bear until that big play. I was like, oh, that's where he is. I forgot he's still there. And then that happened. Nico didn't forget.
He did not forget.
Everybody in fantasy. Next up, Jets and Panthers in New Jersey. The Jets are becoming the butt end of every single joke in the National Football League. 0-6 coming off of London, seeing if they can beat the Carolina Panthers, who are not the greatest team ever when they play on the road. This would be so Panthers for them to lose this game because for them to go above 500 in week 7 in a National Football League season, the year of our Lord 2025 would be something fascinating to think I would never be saying. But it is the NFL. It would be so classic Panthers to lose this game. It would be so classic Jets to win this game. I'm intrigued because of that conversing factor and opposite effects of these two teams going at it.
Is this the very movable object versus the very stoppable force?
Very much so.
Cool.
Yeah, so I have two things about this game. One, we need to get Garrett Wilson out of New York. That man is floundering, but it's not his fault, okay? And two, imagine the Panthers, after the years that they've had, going to 4-3, and they somehow squander it. I just feel like it has a chance to happen. I have this at 14 because I just don't see much entertainment out of these two teams.
I want to see Tet McMillan just cook Sauce Gardner all day.
that's a good matchup.
You know what? That's worthwhile watching. Well, the big question here is Justin Fields finally winning a game when he faces a team that scores over 21 points? That's the question. That's the question.
He will not.
So, next up, Bengals and Steelers on Thursday Night Football. The old man versus the other old man. In the median age of, I think, 41. I think the combined age is like 87.
Oh my god!
In this football game, playing quarterback. Can't wait to watch it. What'd you say? You said Unk versus Unk.
It's the Unk Bowl.
The Unk Bowl on Thursday Night Football.
Just a bunch of geriatrics playing football,
and
the
it's
street.
A geriatric calling it as well with Al Michaels. God bless him.
Oh, no.
In terms of it. He's lost his fastball, let's be honest. Bengals Steelers Thursday night. Can't quite get into it, but that's where we are. That's where I have it.
You can't say stuff like that when I'm in the middle of a drink, dude. That's really funny.
I also have it in a similar spot. I have it at number 11. I kind of liked what I saw out of Joe Flacco. Obviously compared, that's like saying, you know, this spoiled food is not better than a food that is terribly cooked. Like,
yeah.
That's literally what I'm looking at right now. Jamar Chase had an impressive catch in that one, and that's all I'm really looking for out of the Bengals. I know your team is not going to be that great this year because of the Joe Burrow injury, but provide some highlight plays for me. You know, I got that against the Packers, and I think we could see that again, especially in an AFC North clash, but I also think this is going to be a low-scoring affair.
To me, you're saying like the spoiled food thing. I'm like, I'm at a party. None of the food looks good. I guess I'll have the deviled eggs.
I'll have the cantaloupe. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Next up, I got Vikings Eagles here. I don't know if the Vikings play an interesting brand of football, but they are finding ways to win football games with Carson Wentz. Go figure. I'm here for the Eagles soap opera in terms of it, and certainly if the Eagles lose that game, certainly things can get interesting and in a very fascinating way for the Philadelphia crowd. So I'll put it right here in the middle. Feels like one of those middle-of-the-road games. I don't find it particularly going to be an interesting brand of football. Could be low scoring. I like watching a game in Minnesota, so I'm going to put it here.
This Minnesota Vikings defense is number one against the pass, but number 26 against the rush. If there is ever a game where Saquon Barkley goes off, it has to be this one. I need to see a revival out of this Philly offense in this game. And maybe J.J. McCarthy comes back, so there is a couple of cool storylines going into this one. I had this at number 8.
What do you think of Vikings Eagles?
I think this game is a mid-off. I think it is appropriately placed. I don't care about either of these teams, especially if I have to watch Carson Wentz play football.
All right.
I think this has the chance to be the best game of the week just because of the offenses.
That's good.
Okay, that's fair. That stat about the Vikings defense, that's actually interesting. That kind of bumped it up a little bit for me.
Next up, Cardinals and Packers in Arizona. The are-you-not-entertained Arizona Cardinals, who just consistently play those down-to-the-minute, down-to-the-wire, crazy football games. You hate them, you love them, they're in them all the time, each week and weekend out. It doesn't matter.
They really are, aren't they?
Jacoby Brissett or Kyler Murray, the Cardinals are absolutely diabolically interesting to watch. And the Packers, I think, are maybe the most vanilla playing team I've ever watched in football. They're the most boring 3-1-1 outside of that Cowboys tie. And the one exciting game they do play is the tie that I frankly just still have a bad taste in my mouth.
I cannot believe we were in the car listening to that game and it's like, oh, the game is tied.
I felt like I wanted my money back. And I didn't do anything.
We didn't pay anything for it. I want my money back.
But Cardinals Packers sits right here. This could get interesting. It could get wild.
Yeah, similar spot for me, too. I think Jacoby Brissett has honestly, I mean, he's just the guy that can just bring an offense to play at a decent level.
Wish
every
he did
time.
It with the Patriots.
And he did. And right. And this Packers game, this Packers team just plays down to their opponents, win, draw, or loss. And I just think that can get seen out again. The only thing I like about this rivalry, this is not a rivalry, this matchup per se, the Aaron Rodgers kick. Pick six or whatever it was
Calais Campbell, all those years ago.
On
the tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Young so, Calais Campbell.
That's a little moment between these two teams that I always love.
52-45, I want to say. It was like a psychotic
one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen.
Oh, that's stupid.
Psychotic final score. Next up, we're going to go, as I reset the music here, Niners Falcons on Sunday Night Football. I do worry about this 49ers team as they go up against the Atlanta Falcons, who I think have a very good capability of running the football, but they're Jekyll and Hyde. What we've seen so far, to lose 30-0 to the Panthers and then go and beat the Bills by double digits, go figure. It's prime time. I worry about the Niners' magic running out just a little bit here with all of the injuries. But Kittle's back, so maybe that changes things in terms of the way that offense can go. Obviously, we will see maybe more tight ends featured in this football game. But outside of that, I worry about this Niner defense. I worry about the capability of what they can do against this Falcons team. I put it right here just outside of my top six.
Yeah, I had this at number 4. I think that this is a game, because of the returning players, can be a little bit more exciting. I think both of these offenses provide some sort of I guess instability is the right word, because they can both pop off for like 40 points, but on the other end, they could both not score above 20. And both of these defenses, I mean, Atlanta's defense, I think, is playing really, really well right now. Mm-hmm. And so that can definitely make this a little bit of a blowout. But I think this is going to be a game that comes down to the wire again. And I think Brock Purdy is a pretty good game. I don't know where this game goes for real, though, but that's why I have it so high.
Yeah, Brock Purdy's supposed to be back, right?
Is he supposed to be back?
He's projected to be
allegedly
back, yes.
We'll see.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, honestly.
Same.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Brock Purdy playing this game makes much of a difference. Just from seeing him play the Jags that one time. Like, I'm not super convinced.
He was injured, I will say.
He was. I don't know. Maybe he's playing hurt still.
I've seen him play hurt, and it wasn't good. And I don't know if we'll see it today. But who knows? Sunday night, we'll tell.
Yep.
Next up. Jags and Rams in London.
In it.
Rams and Jags. This is by far the best London game we're going to have this year in terms of it. Two, I would say, legitimate playoff contenders who have two legitimate opportunities to make some noise in this National Football League. I think the Jags, obviously, coming off of the short week, that's a tough spot for them to go take on Seattle right after that. They're going to take on the Rams here next, who I don't believe are going to be playing with Puka, so that's a little bit of a plus for the Jags in terms of it and going up against it.
Puka did not travel. Devin Lloyd also did not travel.
Uh-oh.
So that's going to be interesting. Ventrell Miller is going to be filling his spot.
I think the Rams are screwing around a little bit. I want to see them screw around a little bit less with the football. They've been a little loosey-goosey in terms of the turnover side of things. I don't think they've really completely played their apex level of football yet. I imagine they're going to want to win and get out of there. The Jaguars are not a team that will allow it. Rams turn the ball over a lot, like I say. Jags are opportunistic. This could get interesting in London.
I think this is a Devontae Adams breakout game with how weird the Jags secondary
Devontae
has been.
Devontae killed you guys last time he played.
Yes, right? He did.
Yeah.
I think that was like against the Aaron Rodgers Jets.
Yeah.
So. I think it goes off.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm that sicko that'd be looking at playoff picture content this early into the season, and both of these teams are in a wild card spot right now. The Rams are 4-2 at the 7th seed. Jags are 4-2 in the 6th seed, and this game is going to be massive for both of these teams in their hunt for a division crown. With the Niners being hurt, you know, the Colts and Jags are really close. Seahawks are there. So this has a lot of implications in that aspect. That's why I have it so high at number 2, not just because of the teams themselves being really good, but what it could mean for the rest of the season.
Next up, my top 5. Monday Night Football, Seahawks and Texans. Seattle just keeps chugging along. I think they're continuing to be okay with the lack of attention they are getting. The Texans, we forget, have been a football team in this season, but coming out 2-3 now after a bye. People, I think, recognize how strong that defensive side can be for the Texans and how much havoc they can still cause. Seattle can get a little squirrely when it comes to that havoc. The Jags almost unlocked something, I thought, in terms of the pass rush against Sam Darnold. Just on the back end, it was a little bit of an issue. But the Texans can shore up that in this matchup. To me, I think this is going to be an interesting chess match to see what Seattle's offense can do against the Houston defense. I'm interested in that on Monday Night Football in the late end.
I think that's going to be fun because I'm not sold on the Texans offense just because offensive line is just Swiss cheese.
They got Make-A-Wish Nick Chubb running for touchdowns.
Oh, good Lord.
So, anyways.
Yeah, this is a little lower for me. I still don't trust this offensive line for the Texans. And for a Seahawks team that got to the Jags a couple of times, I think they're going to absolutely slice up this.
It was like 7 times.
Line. Yeah, so this is going to be a tough matchup for the Texans. But if their defense can keep them in it, you never know.
Next up, Cowboys and Commanders.
Ooh.
Manners, how about these two teams just absolutely blowing their chance to get closer to the Eagles in the division? Boy, that was served up on a silver platter, and they just wanted to poop on it. Both of these teams got to win this week in terms of staying pace with it. The Cowboys, their offense keeps them in any kind of game. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the 07 Patriots. The Cowboys are going to try to keep up with you in any aspect of it. The Commanders, I'm really disappointed in the way they closed out that football game. I think that is an indictment of what I think they feel like they have a lot of things going for them, and the hype is maybe a little too high for them in terms of it. And maybe the Commanders got a nice wake-up call, because in the National Football League, you cannot close a game like that. The Cowboys certainly can make them pay for it as well. I think this will be a great game in Dallas, so I can't wait to watch it.
I think this one's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the Cowboys defense, like, at all.
Yeah, the Cowboys defense is getting torched by the Panthers. I think this is on a similar thing. I think this is going to be a really high-scoring game. I think both of these teams need a win to get closer to the Eagles after blowing their chance last week. And so I think we see a lot of fireworks. I remember last season this game was really, really good. Obviously, this is the one in Dallas. But the one in Washington last year, you had the punt return touchdown after the Terry McLaurin, like, 70-yard TD with, like, 30 seconds left. So I think this could be a really good game. This is a number three for me.
Was that the Torbert?
Yeah, Tolbert punt.
Tolbert, there we go.
Next up, number three, I got the Chargers and the Colts in L.A. The Colts come back to SoFi to try to pick up a win. The only loss of the year was at SoFi. They hope to not have it 0-2 in that trip. But the Chargers, who are a little, I mean, obviously banged up, but I thought they saw some grit there for how down bad they were in that game against Miami to pull it out with a big-time drive to close out the game and get the game-winning field goal. So something, I think the Chargers still have some juice, but they got to overcome a lot of deficiencies in this football game. And the Colts, I thought played with their food a little bit with Arizona, but also showed me that they can gut out games that certainly doesn't feel like if their defense isn't playing at the highest level, they can find ways to win. These are two teams that absolutely would like to have this game in terms of the AFC seeding. So I'm interested in Chargers and Colts here at number three.
I think this is going to be a good game.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
I think so, too. I think the Colts somehow are a wagon in 2025, and they've been putting up some impressive performances. I didn't realize this until now. The Chargers are kind of like the 49ers of the AFC.
A little bit.
You lose Hampton, you lose both your tackles, you lose Khalil Mack, and you're still trying to put something together with this defense and running game. And then they lost Quentin Johnston last week to injury. So we'll see how they respond. This is a home game. I think this is a game that they would have thought they would have won before the season started, but now with the Colts coming in at the 5-1 record, I think this could be a tough matchup for the Chargers, especially if they don't have Quentin Johnston back.
Next up, Broncos and Giants. Yes, I have them here at number two overall. One word, Scatabo.
Let's do it.
At Mile High.
Let's go.
Can't wait. How high will he flip when the mile-high thin air of the mountains? But let's be honest, the Broncos underperformed in London. Felt like a just-get-out-of-town kind of game to go win. I think this is a legitimate defense that the Giants present in front of a Bo Nix offense that continues to kind of underperform with the way they played so far this season. And can the young Giants find more ways to win against teams that I don't think are as highly talented as them, but at least have an ability to keep things close? I'm interested in Broncos Giants in the Mile High City. I think this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I remember watching that Broncos Titans game and being like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, this should have been a blowout.
Dude, Jackson Dart versus Denver is such a good storyline to see because we've seen him in two games at home and he's played very well against the Chargers and the Eagles. Go on the road, it's a little different story. Now he's playing a very tough defense in Denver. I would be very entertained if Jackson Dart can go into Denver and get a victory. But yeah. Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito are playing out of their mind right now. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup for sure. I have this at number six.
And number one, game of the week. Lions and Buccaneers, Monday Night Football
at 4
p.m. in Detroit. The Lions a little wounded. I thought it was a little uncharacteristically bad performance from their offense in terms of the way they were play calling. On the flip side, the Bucs just gutting it out with guys like Tez Johnson, of all people, who thinks he should be MVP of the league. That was fascinating stuff. But honestly, Baker Mayfield, if you want to win MVP of this National Football League, this is a game to win on the road with the pieces that he does not have and the cast of characters that he is elevating. I cannot wait to see what this game looks like in Detroit. Massive implications in the NFC. Lions, Bucks, number one.
Would you say that this is the best Monday night game?
So far?
Of the whole season.
We'll see.
Projected to be the whole season.
I think I don't have the slate in front of me, yeah. So off the top of my head.
It's going to be fun.
It's good.
I'm excited.
It's good.
The Lions-Ravens game was pretty good, I would say. That was a Monday night game.
Yeah, that was.
So, yeah, I really like this matchup. I agree totally with you that Baker needs to win this game. These two teams have met up in the playoffs, and they've met up last year, and they've had been great games. But I've seen a little bit of a trend where our number one game, where we both picked it number one, has been terrible. So hopefully this is not another case of that, because I really like both these teams, and I can see a lot of fireworks, even with the injuries.
And that is your Benatti Blitz, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. All right, let's take a break. We got a little bit of time left here in this hour. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Just a couple minutes here in this segment. So, guys, clear out the lane. I'm going to play ISO ball. I'm just going to give out the schedule here for this next bit of time. So, hang tight. Of course, we got a new fresh schedule for you. 4:30, Dodgers Brewers coming up tonight. Sharks and Hurricanes over on 790. Sharks, yes, that's right. Although I call them the LOL Sharks right now, the way they're going. Mariners, Blue Jays tomorrow at 4:30. Sunbird Sports Show is going to be on 790 at 6 p.m. as well. Thursday we'll have Thursday Night Football on 14:30. Steelers and Bengals. Doubleheader of baseball over on 790. We'll have the Dodgers Brewers at 2:30 on 790, and then following that, the Mariners and Blue Jays game four. If Mariners Blue Jays does go to a fifth game, we will not have Behind the Bench. No Behind the Bench on Friday. We'll have a 30-minute edition of Sportsline Bulldog Hour. I wonder if I'll be a special guest. That'd be fun with Tony. Never been on Tony's show before. Friday Night Lights, we'll have Kingsburg hosting Kerman. Myself and Paul Metters will be on the call down in Kingsburg, 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff. Dodgers Brewers game four over on 790 on Friday. Of course, we'll get to the if necessary situations with the baseball playoffs. Assume we're going to have those on there for you. NFL schedule looks like this on Sunday. 5:30 in the morning on 790, we will have Rams and Jaguars for you at 5:30 pregame with a 6:30 kickoff from London on 790. Ace, I'm sure you're going to be tuned in.
I'm going to be the most stressed out person at 6:30 in the morning.
Hey, I will join you on a call if you want to.
Oh, it's very nice.
I really would like to watch that game. I'll come over with bagels.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Can I come over with bagels?
Absolutely.
All right, sounds good. I think I'm going to Ace's house at 6:30 tomorrow, or on Sunday.
So Molly and Luna, get your McGriddles in.
Yeah. Molly and Luna are going to be like, what are you doing here? Do you have somewhere to be?
Yes, it's the couch, and I'm watching football. We'll have Raiders over on 14:30 in the morning. Niners-Falcons, the Sunday night game as well, and all that great stuff. Lakers-Warriors next week on 14:30, by the way. That's right, yes. Lakers-Warriors, unless we get a Game 7 between the Dodgers and the Brewers there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, a rapid second hour, or well, a rapid early part of that first second hour there before we take you to Dodgers Brewers. So Behind the Bench returns after this break next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here on this second hour, going up till 4:30 today before we sign off and send it out to Milwaukee for Brewers-Dodgers game two. The Dodgers lead the series 1-0. So we're going to do some quick topics. Ace is still here. Tavir, Daniel over here as well. I'm trying to think of where we want to go. Do we want to go Fresno State or are we going to go NFL talk? I think we did a lot of NFL talk. Should we go Fresno State real quick?
Yeah, I feel
like
we got to get it done with.
Just get it out.
That Fresno State-Colorado State game was...
Yeah. I made my thoughts known yesterday, and my standpoint was you can bitch and moan about the penalty, the turnovers all you want and every situation that was set up poorly by everybody. But it all starts with penalties in my mind. And when you go 13 for 117 yards in penalties, that's basically 14 points, it feels like.
Doesn't help.
In terms of you giving up an entire football field plus of yardage in terms of your own mistakes, that won't win you a football game. And it's been alarming the way the penalties have risen over the last few weeks. The holdings have been brutal in terms of that. And on the flip side of... Yes, thank you for pointing out Logan Fife is playing quarterback for New Mexico State right now, former Fresno State quarterback. To me, the blame can be put on the quarterback, and that's fair to say it can be. But I don't think this team is set up to do the things it was trying to do on Friday, which was inexplicably throw the ball 40-something plus times on Friday because the game was set up in that certain aspect of it. But when you get to third and 17s and third and 15s and all of those long-yarded situations and you ask this offense to do things that are quite simply not in the playbook to do so, you get into those situations where calamity can happen. And so I sit here and say that the game turned into a rolling boulder. And it went downhill, and it went downhill fast, and glaring mistakes were made, and it's good that you put a microscope to it. Where do you guys sit in terms of the game on Friday? Asa, I'll let you go.
I had to debrief with Steph because she was a little – I mean, we're both upsetty spaghetti. But
of course.
Watching the game, something that I don't know if I've ever said about a Fresno State defense is that – Fresno State this year specifically, I think, has tackled really, really well. Mm-hmm. And so watching the game, the Colorado State game, they were not tackling well. And I'm like, okay, something's up.
Yeah.
Because like this is the first time I've ever been like, they're just not like they're doing a lot of arm tackles. Mm-hmm. Like everyone looks like they're kind of running through pudding. And I really think that the altitude really had something to. Well, I think it had a majority of what to do with the actual physical performance of the game.
Okay.
Because like offensive line had no push, couldn't get the run game going. If you can't get the run game going, and especially if you're down, two scores or something?
Two scores right away after two turnovers / punt, and then you go for it on the punt, and you don't
– And you don't get it, and you're already playing from behind.
Yeah,
you're already from behind. You have to throw the ball more. I mean, Colorado State, I think, because of that, kind of put where they wanted to put E.J. Warner, which was force him to throw a ball and throw the ball and make mistakes. But, you know, I don't like to place external factors on – on the team. Like, I feel like it's kind of your job as like a football player to just like overcome, but also at the same time, if you're coming from like, what are we here at Fresno, like 1200 feet, something like that,
yeah,
a significantly lower elevation, you're just not getting enough oxygen, like you can't perform the way that you are accustomed. I mean, that has a lot to do with it. Like, you were physically unable to play at your peak.
Yeah, but if you
on a short week,
if
no
it's going to be that, then you had to game plan better anyway. Still, yes, to that effect.
I don't disagree.
And that's where I think Coach Entz took the onus on it. He said he failed the preparation for this team. He felt like the coaching staff failed the preparation for this team. Everybody took accountability for it. He took accountability for it. And that's good. You know, that's on the onus of the coach. And the team looked ill-prepared. I mean, when everything goes that wrong,
yeah,
I can't just blame the players for absolutely 100% quitting. It had to have been a whole institutionally just the wrong idea going into that football game. And everybody screwed up. So you throw it out the window. Here's a bye. I know Coach Entz was like, I really wish we were playing like tomorrow. But they have to sit and stew in it for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And that's the interesting part of what they're going to have to answer to, which is how are you going to come out against San Diego State, who now seems to be, I think, the best team in the Mountain West. And that is going to be a tough and tall task coming up next Saturday. Tanvir, what are your thoughts?
I was just looking over the games and just trying to see what was the difference between these first 4 weeks and these last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And where we've seen these last 3 weeks, yes, it has been a little bit, it's been good competition for sure and tough games. But this team is absolutely terrible in the first quarter of these last three games.
Yeah.
In the last three games, they have not scored a single point in the first quarter. They have four punts, two interceptions, a turnover on downs, and a missed field goal over the last three first quarters. And you just cannot, when your team is predicated on running the football, but you're falling behind early in games, you're forced to pass then. And that just is not a recipe for success. That is why I think the Fresno State Bulldogs have, quote unquote, struggled over these last couple of weeks, even though they have won games, right? It's been a struggle bus to win the games even. And even if we're talking about two or three teams that are definitely winnable games, it's just been that first quarter where they feel like it's just been very sluggish coming out of the blocks. And again, as I stated before, if you're predicated on running the football, you're not going to be able to do that if you're behind by three touchdowns. And that's what Colorado State did. They scored on all of their first three possessions. And they got the lead to really put Fresno State in a bad position. Well, that's what happened.
I want to jump in here because does it feel like they've gotten away with it a little bit? Because you mentioned with the falling behind, and I do credit them for coming back and finding a way to win these football games. I think they adjust decently in these games from half to half in terms of what they need to do. Although I would frankly say the last six quarters have not been – specifically the last six quarters have not been great. But is let's set aside what our feelings were after Friday. I want to set that aside and just take a look at it and examine it real quick, because then I sit here and remember when I was at the beginning of the season, I was like, what are we thinking about this season? Where are we at with this season? What do we feel like is a success to this season? Is it winning record? Is it 8-4? Is it competing in the Mountain West? Is it where it is? And I don't know if I ever got a clear answer on it from a lot of the fans, because a lot of fans just don't know how to answer that question. And as we sit here at 5-2 and 2-1 in the conference, on paper, it feels like we're where we kind of maybe overachieved a little bit into that aspect of it.
I think realistically
for a
speaking,
first-year
yeah.
head coach, Coach Entz, if he won on Friday, by the way, would have had the most unprecedented start in Fresno State history as a head coach. And so I put that into perspective, and I sit there and say, turning a program around is really, really hard to do. And maybe he did wonders in the first few games of this season just by winning the games he needed to because of the circumstances. And maybe a first-year program coach, sometimes things rear its ugly head, and a Friday game like that happens. And
yeah.
It is what it is. And we're just not there yet. We're getting there, and we're bringing in recruits. You see all the great names that are coming in from the recruiting cycle. It gets people excited. We'll eventually reap the rewards of that. But right now, it's let's be frank, they've had to patchwork a lot. And I think we're doing the most with what we have. And I think 5-2 is what it is. And so I sit here and look at Friday's game, and yes, I think the team could have played better, but I think about the expectations, and I sit and say, I mean, this is kind of where we probably should be, right? And it's just one of those games where it just was kind of a dud, and you had your expectations have been raising and raising every week and every week and every week. And I just sit here and wonder, I just look at what we started with and where we're at now, and maybe that's my perspective I have on it.
I'll say, like, honestly, I think expectations were like nothing, to be honest.
Yeah.
But right now we're only one game away from a bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like that should have probably been the expectation.
Yeah.
And so I think as long as we make a bowl game, I think it's a perfect season.
I thought 7-5 was perfect.
Yeah.
I thought that was like 7-5, 8-4. I thought that's exactly what Tedford started with when he came in 2017, I want to say. When Tedford started coaching for the first time here at Fresno State. So when I present with that viewpoint, what do you guys think of that now as we look at how we all felt, which was angry? I was angry. I'm sure you guys were angry. Every fan at Fresno State was angry about how Friday went down. And then we take a couple days back away and look at the perspective of what we were at the beginning of the season. Do you guys look at it in a different light based off of Friday's performance?
The way that I see it is that I keep telling myself that if you told me at this point in the season, like in the summer, mm-hmm. if you told me like we'd be 5-2 sitting at what week are we in? Like week eight, week nine. In week 8, we're 5-2, and our two losses are one of them are to who you would expect, and one of them isn't who you would expect. I'd still be like, I'll take 5-2 any day.
Yeah.
I mean, bowl eligible. I would love to be bowl eligible. Anything after that for me is gravy.
Yeah.
With the first year head coach, new quarterback, learning a new system, like, I would love to be 7-5.
Yeah.
I'll take that any day, but like sitting at 5-2, like I'm not stressing
that
much.
Where are you at, Timber?
I've raised expectations as I've seen this team play over these last. I really liked what we did at Hawaii. Yes, it was a tough game, but that's a tough place to play in, and to pull out a win there.
To hold that offense to 21, which now I feel like that offense is insane. Have you seen the drop 44 again on Utah State? This past week.
Lordy.
Yeah, and then you get a good win against Nevada. Obviously, again, slugfest, but you got it done. I was just very disappointed that this is the loss. And I said it when we were talking on Thursday. I just feel like this is just one of those games where Fresno State should win. They have the advantage in a lot of these places. And what I'm looking for at the start of this year, sure, yeah, my expectations were have honestly been beaten already.
Yeah.
But now, midway through, we've had this five game winning streak. You're going into Colorado State against a struggling 1-4 Colorado State team. Yes, it is difficult. It's on the road. It's on a Friday. But I also think the performance was very off kilter to me. I just did not like what I saw. And is, going the first quarters route that I went earlier in this discussion, there's things to improve. And what I will say is I am proud of what Fresno State has done this season. Again, bowl expectations where I was at. We're one game away from that. Sure. Yeah. But, you know, my expectations personally change because of how good this team was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And they've had elite moments in football games. I don't think they have had an elite game just quite yet. Once again, I'm still looking for the turnover-free football game. I swear I'm still waiting for it in terms of that. I just want to put it in perspective. I'm not making excuses. Because any team knows that when you go into that kind of environment and do that, that's not acceptable with the way you play. But I don't think the margin is what told us what that football game actually was, which was, I think, the beginning of that game turned into what that game ended up being, which was a 28, I think, point loss in some form or fashion. So I hope everything's closer the rest of the way. I do think they can match up better with San Diego State. We'll see. I got to imagine they'll tackle better in that game, and we'll evaluate it next week. But all in all, I just wanted to just bring the perspective of how we felt going into the beginning of the season versus what we saw on Friday, which we'll see if we can improve on it. That's what bye weeks are for. Back to the basics. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll close out the show, send it to baseball next year on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here, minutes before we send it off to Milwaukee for Brewers-Dodgers. By the way, Brewers-Dodgers game last night, I was talking to Sedan Beer, man. I want to get your thoughts on this, Asa. You're the manager, and two times this has already hurt the teams that go against it. But critical game moment last night in the Dodger game. Runners on second and third. I think it's two outs, right, Tanvir? Two outs?
Yes.
You have Shohei up to the plate. Do you go after him or do you walk him, intentionally walk him with two outs? And Mookie is right behind him there.
Ooh. I was going to say walk him because then you have a out anywhere.
But it's two outs.
I know.
You're going to get an out no matter what happens, wherever the ball is.
Exactly. But like if Mookie's at the bat, you just have to hope it doesn't, you know, it stays in the infield.
Yeah, but to me, I said this last week.
If it was anyone but Mookie, I'd be like, all right, like just walk him, like let it happen.
So it bit the butt of the Milwaukee Brewers last night to walk Shohei Ohtani again in the extra, and give him the base, make it bases loaded with Mookie Betts, and didn't Milwaukee gave up a run because they walked Mookie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which exactly happened to Philadelphia in that critical game four, which they did end up losing to in extra innings.
So it's happened twice?
It's now happened twice, yep. In the same situation.
Oh, my God,
I'd have two nickels. And the Dodgers have benefited from both. And my argument is to avoid walking the bases loaded and just going after Shohei is because you want – if you're going to walk Shohei, you have to attack Mookie. And they're not attacking Mookie. And then you walk the bases loaded and you give the run anyway that you didn't want to give up.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like you don't get the luxury of a walk. You could pitch around Shohei at least and make him nibble a little bit, but at least you have that open base in case you walk him. Now you have to be perfect when you're pitching to Mookie.
That's true. Plus it's a playoffs. Like everything just matters so much more.
And Shohei's not playing great. He's not hitting.
He really isn't, which is strange.
Right, he's batting in the 100s right now, Tanvir, in the playoffs. Is that where we're at?
Yeah. He's got four hits on 29 at-bats.
Yeah. I know it's Shohei Ohtani, and I know he's the generational talent of baseball at this moment, but I'd take my chances. I would take my chances.
I feel like a little bit of this happened last season, too.
Yeah.
You know, last postseason, you see Shohei Ohtani, you know, he is a great player, nonetheless, but he didn't have the gaudy numbers in the postseason.
He wasn't the World Series MVP.
It was basically Freddie, Mookie, and Teoscar, who was kind of carrying that squad last year. And yes, you have all three of those guys right after Shohei, but in that situation, I just don't see what benefit it has to walk Shohei when you have Mookie right behind him. If there was, as you said, if there was somebody else behind him, like, I don't know, Andy Paez or somebody.
Teoscar or Will Smith or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so it would be Mookie, then Teoscar, then Freddie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was different towards the end of that game, but I just don't see the benefit, the overarching benefit that you would probably have unless, like, if you did it to Judge or somebody, right?
Yeah. Fascinating decision. And the other side of things, the Dodgers almost blowing it with
nothing new.
pulling Snell and deciding to go Roki, who I thought, I was like, all right, we'll see how this goes. But I thought that was an interesting move. And now the Brewers have a little confidence against Roki. Roki maybe a little shaken after him having to be pulled and then Blake Treinen coming in and finishing off a Bryce Durang swinging at a high fastball. Bryce, you're not that guy.
you think the lights were too bright?
I don't know. No, I think the Brewers aren't a team that is the lights too bright team. I think they're capable of not blinking in this series. I think they're very capable of winning tonight, actually. I think they will win tonight and even this series at one apiece. Who goes tonight? Is it Shohei on the mound tonight? Or
no, it's Yamamoto.
Tonight? Yamamoto hasn't been fantastic on the mound. He's been decent.
He's been beat.
In game three, right? Am I remember that
against,
correctly?
Against Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I gotta imagine Milwaukee can jump on it and tie this series out. So I think that's gonna be play. I mean, I know you're a Dodger fan, so you always have your faith in the Dodgers, but do you feel like tonight might be a just house money kind of game if you win it tonight, or are you okay with, you know?
You're putting up in the same situation that the Mariners are in.
Exactly.
You win this game, you're going back to L.A. for two games, and that's going to be where, you know, you make your money. And what I'll say is I just think if you can score runs on – it's simple, right? If you score runs on this Dodgers team, I don't see it where the pitching can come back to haunt them. I felt like last game – last night – when you only give up two runs to the Dodgers, that's like prime position because of where the pitching is in the bullpen for the Dodgers. You can score those runs and you can get a lead back, but they just were not able to hit on Snell. So
yeah.
I think this has got to be a win for the Brewers because I feel like if they lose, I think the Dodgers win this in at least six.
I completely agree with you. Only one reason I can't is that I somewhat got distracted up on my screen here because I saw a name named Shedarius Tootle in recruiting at the bottom of this ticker on CBS.
All-name team.
I guess he flipped his commitment to Auburn. Congratulations to Auburn.
We didn't talk about this, but the Penn State, dude, situation, so many people are flipping.
We'll talk about it later because we are out of time. Dodgers, Brewers next. Guys, appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Good show.